to the Greek crisis, for example, which has been brewing for 5 years but is now coming to a head. Any day, as the government in Greece says it cannot repay €1.6 billion to the IMF by the end of this month, needs billions more to stave off bankruptcy and refuses to cut pensions. Plus, there's been a run on the banks. €1 billion yesterday alone. An emergency summit of Eurozone leaders is scheduled for Monday, which may be too late. Ross Ashcroft is a self-described renegade economist. His documentary Four Horsemen was a critique, among other things, of the banking system and debt-based economics. And he's with me now. I know that you're not an expert on Greece, but it's all a bit of a mess, isn't it?
Well, Greece is the... I mean, Homer would have a job, you know, coming up with a story better than this. And it's predatory finance versus democracy. And actually, it's a microcosm of a lot of the megatrends that we're seeing in the world.
What are you saying, that the Greek government is good?
Well, I'm saying that the Greeks have sadly have capitulated because predatory financiers have made loans to that country which they knew in their heart of hearts weren't ever going to be repaid.
Because you're the only person I've heard to speak up for the Greek government. Everybody else is going, oh, they're a pack of idiots.
Of course,
they couldn't organise their way out of a paper bag.
And the stereotypical thing, Kim, is that they say the Greeks are lazy and they've had too much money and they've
never paid their taxes.
Never pay their taxes. Well, that's true. I mean, the point is, who did the due diligence for all the banks that lent to Greece? That's my question, because they've got batteries of researchers. They've got lots of people who can go into Greece and have a look to see if they've got a decent tax base and whether they can repay. And it turns out that they didn't do that research, or if they did that research, they still greenlit those loans. So everyone's looking at the Greek people. Why aren't people looking at the people, at the banks who lent the money? And that's a story that we don't see. So it's a due diligence story.
Do you think that the banks lent Greece the money because they thought, oh, we'll get it back anyway from Germany or someone else?
Yeah, I think it was pass the parcel. And, you know, in a debt-based economy, you just keep passing the parcel and someone has to pick up the tab. And I think the ultimate backstop is a nation state. So a financier thinks, oh, well, you know, if we don't get the money off them, we'll threaten, which is what the Troika's been doing, to take their assets and impose austerity and do something which I call backdoor privatisation, where you starve a public asset of money and then go in and buy it at a fire sale price. Well, I'd be surprised if the Troika even had looked at any of the proposals that Yanis Varoufakis had put to them, because they know that they want to go in there and take what they can at bargain basement prices. And it comes back to who, anyone with half a brain knew that Greece over the last 40 years, the national pastime was not to pay tax. I mean, that was the... And so if you'd have gone in there and understood that there wasn't the kind of tax base necessary to be able to pay this kind of money back, and a lot of the IMF money was coming into Greece to pay wages, it wasn't going into capital infrastructure spending, it was going to pay nurses, for instance. And then people could see, if you looked at the books, actually all that money was being siphoned out of Greece. Well, would you go and make that kind of loan?
I don't understand how it ever got into the European Union in the first place.
I do. Goldman Sachs lied about the...
You're not going to get us sued by Goldman Sachs.
No, I'm not. It's a truth. I think it's defence in truth. The Goldman Sachs were brought in to hide the debts of Greece so it could gain EU membership. And as soon as it gained EU membership, they put the debts back on the books.
Who? Greece did? Right. Okay.
With the help of investment bankers who got huge fees in return.
So it wasn't... You're saying that Greece fooled the European Union into thinking that Greece's books look good.
Yeah, but facilitated by...
Goldman Sachs,
yeah.
Who saw a buck in it.
Well, probably a couple of bucks in it.
I suppose that's legitimate banking interest.
If you ask the Black Caps about spirit of the game when it comes to cricket, you know, is it right that an organisation like that can come? Is it spirit of the game?
It's spirit of the banking game, isn't it? I mean, there are worse things done in banking than
what?
That,
than
presumably.
Over than under than,
than
than
just under, you know
undermining democracy.
Creative accountancy, it's called.
Right, so you back it?
No, Kim. I don't. I don't back it, but I don't actually know anything about it.
No, and I think the point is that there has been a laziness around the journalism, not so much now, but certainly in the mainstream press, there's been a laziness. And it's really important that people do understand these things. You know, and that's one of the reasons we made Four Horsemen, because we can't have this kind of nebulous aura, if you like, around finance, because it's far too important, especially now, especially when banks, in my view, are beyond the control of democratic governments.
And nothing changed, in your view, even after the crisis and the bailouts and the austerities, and the banks just carried right on?
Yeah, and all that.
No change.
Very little change. I mean, they've kicked themselves in the shins in a sense that a lot of the regulatory capture has meant that there's huge illiquidity in the system now. So asset prices have been augmented massively with QE, but actually in the market you're finding that the market is barren. There isn't any liquidity. From a change point of view, no. Bonuses are high again. Asset prices are reflated. It's as if it didn't happen, which means that because we haven't, if we haven't sorted out the fundamentals, the next implosion will be on a scale far greater than the last.
Well, somebody must know that, Ross.
Yeah, everyone listening to this programme knows it. Intuitively, they know it.
Why doesn't somebody do something?
Because the political will isn't there.
But why isn't the political
Because politicians have been captured by the rentier economy, by the rent seekers, by the finance sector, the financial insurance and real estate businesses. They fund the political parties. They call the shots.
It's as simple as that?
Yeah, it's that simple. And people look for conspiracy in all this. There is no conspiracy. It's just structurally determined behaviour. It's structurally determined economic behaviour. And until people, especially younger generations and the leadership now, understand it, there's no way that you can even begin to change it.
What is your speculation about what's going to happen to, first of all, Greece and then to the wider European project?
Well, who knows, frankly? I mean, literally, who knows? Because
make it up!
All right, fine.
So,
the Prime Minister, the Greek Prime Minister, Mr. Tsipras, was having a chat with Putin earlier this week. So,
yeah.
Who knows? The ouzo in Greece could very quickly be vodka.
Yeah, I thought that was quite a smart move. It seemed to get everybody worried. But then everybody said, oh, no, Putin's not going to give him any money.
Well,
and I don't know why not.
Well,
why wouldn't he?
Stranger things have happened.
I would have thought so.
Yeah. So it would be, I genuinely don't know, but I do know that the Greek government has a mandate from the people. People like Yanis Varoufakis, of whom I'm a fan, and he's a very good heterodox economist, who hasn't bought into the neoliberal, neoclassical ideology. It is absolutely... And one thing I would say on this is the ECB have behaved abysmally when it's come to Greece. This brinksmanship, they're now pulling the moral indignation card. The central bankers have been an absolute disaster, and Yanis Varoufakis knows that.
And the IMF, Christine Lagarde, is not pulling punches. She says, we can only restore dialogue with adults, which I thought was harsh.
Well,
calling Greece...
That's not half of it. I mean, they've taken a proper kicking, I think, is the terminology.
You say that the people support the government, but not to the extent of not pulling their money out of the bank. It's not just the big people who are pulling the money out of the banks, it's the little people as well.
Yeah, of course. And this is a classic. This is what the ECB, in my view, has driven, which is a run on the banks and therefore capital controls over the weekend. I mean, it's this mentality. It's a total lack of leadership on behalf of the central bankers, and that's unforgivable.
And yet, I suppose, if they gave too much leadership, they'd be accused of being dictatorial.
Look, there's a very simple point here. A debt that can't be paid won't be. So you've got to start thinking differently. And the problem here is we're using the same thinking that got us into the problem to try and get us out of it.
Well, I mean, and the other problem is that if the government gave in to the austerity demands and tried to cut pensions, then they'd be out of office. So you can understand that they would be reluctant to do such a thing.
Of course they would.
So,
but there's a bigger point, isn't there? That government look at the people of Greece, and their duty of care is to those people.
Do you think that European Union is a good thing?
Well, I think that it has the waste that the European Union has. The amount of waste
in terms of bureaucracy,
and any kind of centralised power structure, is going to have a level of waste which is totally unacceptable. Until you start to decentralise and allow people power to make autonomous decisions within their own borders, you're going to keep that waste going. whether it's I'm a fan of Britain trading with the EU.